blessing to be in the house of the Lord in this morning. We need a little microphone or something. But it's a really an honor to be here. Are you ready for a broken English? You know? If you really not understand me or my brother this morning, what about if you remember a show in 1959, I Love Lucy, the guy, Ricky Ricardo from Havana, Cuba. So this morning, let me explain you what is going on with Cuba, what is going on with the ministry, and what God is doing in the nation of Cuba, one of the last communist nations in the world. So do you understand me?
Yes.
Must be the Holy Spirit. So... So let me start this morning. Again, I will be brief. We will be what the song sing happened. We will be very brief this morning because about 3 years ago, we went here to this church and we shared some of the testimony. And I wanted to share a couple of testimony because I see a lot of new faces, especially young people. You know, everybody here is young. I will never think any American is young. They will not support us anymore. So, you know, so 1938, Alabama. In a small church in Alabama, something happened. A young girl named Leora Shank, a beautiful young girl, she decided to go on a mission trip to Cuba. Over there in Alabama, her church prayed for her and sent her and supported her. She went to Cuba, to a small town in the province of Matanzas, named Santa Rosa, and she started to talk to Jesus with Cuban farmers over there. One day, Leora, the American girl, met a Cuban girl named Margarita. Margarita had already 3 kids. Margarita was kind of involved in witchcraft, you know. And the next Sunday, Margarita came to the small chapel that they built in Santa Rosa, and she gave her heart to Jesus. She brought her 2 kids, and they gave their heart to Jesus. Margarita, the Cuban girl, was our grandmother. Why is important go on mission trips? Why, as a church in this nation, we should support missions around the world? I will give you just one reason, and it's millions of reasons, but let me give you one. This girl from Alabama went to Cuba, talked to Jesus with our grandmother, and guess what? Changed the destiny of our family. Today, my brother is in ministry, my son is a pastor, my cousin is a pastor, my sister is a pastor, because somebody in a mission trip changed the destiny of my family through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is a good reason to go on a mission trip to Cuba, to Nicaragua, whatever the Lord call you. You will make change in people's life. And this is not just about our family. Millions of families in Latin America, in Africa, that have been changed through the word of God, because people like you, your parents, your grandparents, support Southeast missionaries around the world. In 1959, we had a communist revolution till today, and these American missionaries, they need to went out of Cuba. In 1961, started a tremendous exodus of Cubans to the United States, especially in Miami. Operation Peter Pan, that 60,000-70,000 Cuban kids went to the United States, and people like this guy here, Ernie Lau, he was 11 years old, and he was sending, you know, to Cuba as a little boy, and he started a new life in this nation. In 1973, started something like a concentration camps that the government sent all the Christian, or most of the Christian pastors. They send artists, they send gay people to a concentration camp to be rehab. So, over there in this camp, most of the pastors and people, a pastor, they, with just one word, they can get out the next day. But nobody betrayed the Lord. This generation of brave Cubans, this generation of heroes, the Lord used them in order to have a church, a vibrant church, and a live church today in Cuba. And we are very grateful for this. In 1971, I started the school. I had many dreams. I don't know how many of you remember the first days of class, you know? I do. I remember when I went to the school, I have two goals. Goals, you know, in my life. One was I wanted to become a doctor. I wanted to become a missionary like David Livingstone in Africa. Do you remember? So I wanted to start to work these first days of class on my dream. So I went to the classroom. We had a little school in the farm over there in Santa Rosa. I remember the first day we were about 30 kids, you know. And then a teacher, a tall guy, you know, he called me to the front and said, Willie Santiago, come here. I walked, you know. The only thing I knew about schools was Sunday school classes. So the first days of class, the teacher was calling me in the front of the class, you know. I went, you know, to him. I looked him. He had a, you know, like a cap, gorra, cap with a red star right here. And he said, Willie, you are part of the local church, you and your family? I said, yes, I do. I was 6 years old. And the teacher looked at me and said, Willie, you are such a stupid boy. You are enemy of the state. You are naive. And he started to telling me the more aberrant, I mean, the more tough things that anybody. And some, I don't remember what he says. Some I prefer not. So we, this day, this guy, this idiot, kill my dreams. The first day of class, I saw and used this language in the church, sorry. So this person killed my dreams in the first days of class. I never was good in the school. My brother and I, we was all the time people bullying us. But guess what? Guess what? The word bullying is when a teacher bullying you. Always they try to bully us, try to change our mentality, try to shame us because we were Christians. And I wanted to tell the young people here today in this church, I wanted to tell you something. Sometimes we wanted to be cool in our college, in our middle school, in our high school. We wanted to be cool. You know, my brother and I, we were never cool. Even when I know cool means stupid now. And at that time, I wanted to be cool, you know, because we were different. Because we were Christians. And they pushed us to the most low level that you can think. In 1975, I remember, you know, my father came to my house and talked to my mother. It happens. It happens. And my mother said, what is happening? He took my mother into the room, a bedroom, and I listened. He said, it's happened. You know, Cuban government is sending soldiers to Africa. My father was afraid because the government was sending soldiers to Africa, like these ones, you know, Southern kids from Cuba, some of my friends, they were sent to Africa, and they died in Angola, they died in Nicaragua, fighting with the Sandinists and other things, you know. And my father was afraid because it was mandatory to go to fight over there in that place. Fear was our daily bread over there in that time. But guess what? Jesus Christ overcome the fear. And now we are still living in a communist country. Most of the Americans think or listen that things in Cuba change. No, don't believe the media here. Don't trust 100% on the media. You have freedom of speech. You have freedom of the media. But I don't know why the media sometimes lies. You know, so don't be, you know, what happened in Cuba now is still the same. The only difference is that now you can live here from Durango in the morning in a mission trip, and in the afternoon you are in Havana drinking the best piña colada in the world. We are a good Baptist without alcohol. So, you know, so this is the most, we are a good Baptist. So we are the sometime problem. So we wanted to tell you this testimony because we grow. I was talking to the kids the other day here with Preston, with you guys. And I wanted to tell you that the kids here, I'm a college student, that you sent to Cuba was awesome. We have a tremendous time over there. They had a very nice attitude all the time. They helped us picking a lot of pineapples. You know what we have I will explain in a few minutes. A farm that we have pineapple, they helping us with pineapple, they helping us with mango. Of course, they ate a lot too, but that's fine. We allow them to do it, you know? So we, as a ministry, we wanted, again, to say thank you to this church. We wanted to say thank you so much. The other day I was speaking in the youth here in the church, and I asking a question to the youth, and I say, how many here, you know, watch a movie named Hunger Games, you know? And everybody gets very exciting. Everybody watch Hunger Games. But they get disappointed when I say, I don't like it. You know, because my brother and I, we was born in a Hunger Game. In a Hunger Game. And we need to spend a couple of hours to explain to you what is the Hunger Game. But guess what? In a Hunger Game, you have to fight. In a Hunger Game, you have a very powerful government ruling everything. And that happened to us. So years ago, we felt very strong to start a farm. About 11 years old, we got about 9 acres of farm. Don't ask me how complicated, you know. So, you know, Ernie Lau is also always frustrated with us because when he asks a question, when he went to Cuba, he asked a question. We said, yes and no. He said, wait a minute. Before I went to the United States in Cuba, yes was yes and no was not. But not all of us work. So we got a 9 acres of farm that we plant a lot of fruit, and we help the community. It's a sustainable farm. We do try to do a sustainable farm, preaching the gospel, bring people to Christ, helping those who are in the front line, you know, and also provide for their need, provide for their body. So this church here is also part of what is going over there in our ministry. We try to do as much, organic as possible over there. We wanted to have some of the groups, some teams here that will go and help us over there. We will help you all around Cuba, around our area. We will try to accommodate you and accept Cuban cigars. We will give you anything else. So we want it. We do, for example, canning. We do mango canning. We do tomatoes canning. And we try to help the community. Why? Because in our socialist governments, the government is the one that is the only provide for the people, you know? So they take care of the people, but not always is true. So we, as a Christians, we wanted to be also a blessing to our nation, to the people over there. It's true that Cuba is still one of the last communist nations in this hemisphere, you know? It's very communist, but also at the same time, it's one of the more safe places in the world to go. Of course, it's a police state. So you can, you know, they control all the criminals, all the things, you know. So when the Americans go, it's very safe, you know. We have corporate case 47, no, I'm joking. So we, is that, so what we wanted to tell you this morning, what we wanted to express is, well, first, thank you at this church. You guys are awesome. Thank you for support missions around the world. Thank you for not being just these people that sitting and watching TV and complaining about everything. You are doing something. Thank you very much. Thank you for helping us to make the difference in Cuba. Thank you very much for being a backup because we are in Cuba, but we know there is a church here that is supporting us, not just financially, you know, but also in prayer. So our goals in Cuba, we have a little crazy thing to do. I was talking to Ernie, I'm almost finished. We have about 38 families with the handicap. Preston, you remember that? We have 38 families with the handicapped children. Now, Cuba is the only walking museum for American car from 1950s. All the Americans love it. I don't. But I wanted to see new, you know? So we wanted to buy in the ministry an old car from 1950, 49, but in bad shape. I have people that know how to fix the car and donate it to the handicapped family. I know this will be awesome. So we still have dreams, you know. They was not able to take from us the ability to dream. And anybody who take from you the ability to dream, you will be his slave or her slave. So let's dream in God. Let's try to change the world. You know, let's try to change the world. And you guys are already doing. So Scuba Connection Ministry, our ministry, also we equip, help to equip churches. Also with Joel will serve in a minute. He will be here. We wanted you to pray for us, that the Lord keep us straight, that the Lord keep us safe. I will go back to Cuba in a couple of few weeks. You know, I wanted to ask you these prayers, and I wanted to ask you also, you know, don't pray that the Lord change the government in Cuba. Sometimes, many of American friends, they like to change things. Not you. But not always it's about changing things. We wanted your prayer that the Lord equip us and we can go ahead. Not necessarily that the Lord change the government, because I'm not sure how faithful our people will be when the government change. But this is not about government. You can change government hundreds of times, but the people will remain in the same condition. Brothers and sisters, you know, this is not about political issues. This is not about government. This is a spiritual, you know. And this is what we wanted you to direct your prayers in the nation of Cuba. How is the best way you can help us? Number one, you pray us, but also that you can go and see what God is doing over there in the nation of Cuba. I wanted to talk to you a couple hours more, but I know the rules here. You will never invite me again, you know. So, I wanted to have a little time to my brother, but let me finish with this. And I told you this 3 years ago. I wanted to tell you now. Two things I hate in America. Uh-oh. Zero support for Cuba. Can I tell you what two things I hate in this nation? You will not kick me up. You will continue to be involved? Okay. Number one, that what I hate in America is Dr. Pepper. I can't handle, you know? It's the more things. Second thing is serious. So many people whining and complaining in this nation.
Amen.
And maybe you say, who is this Cuban guy telling us we have the right to complain? You don't. You don't have right to complain. You know why? And probably you don't like this. I don't care. But, you know, millions of people around the world want it. In Cuba, in other countries, want to have the same opportunity that you have. But I'm not talking about just the material things. I'm talking about the freedom. I'm talking about express my opinion without fear that you will call the police. I'm talking about this. So, this is what really bothers me, some of the people that I already met here. So, especially young people, take advantage of this and go ahead. And in Cuba, you have a house, you have a place, you have a ministry. Thank you very much for your support. We will continue ahead working over there in Cuba. And please pray for us. Never stop to pray for us. Thank you for being our brothers and sisters. Thank you for being our friends. Thank you for being so faithful. We love you. Keep in touch and enjoy this beautiful nation, okay? Gracias.
Thank you for the opportunity to share about our country. It's a very nice opportunity to be here. I love this town. I've been here for 1 week, and it's amazing to be here. Thank you for that opportunity. And thank you for the family support us here. It's a big bless for us. I'm working for World Service Ministry in Cuba. We are not the different ministry, Willie and me. We are complement the ministry in Cuba. We try to work in the different areas. The next, please. We working in the first thing is church planter. Everything is around church planter or our job in Cuba. Working with the children's ministry, working with humanitarian, microfinance, working for training leaders in the different areas. We work in children ministry, church planter, and microfinance. And we're working with the ¿cómo se dice? Desastre,
disaster areas.
Yes. Sorry, my English, for that reason he's here, because he's my translator. Yeah. We're working in the church planter for many years. We have the very, very nice opportunity to be the bridge from North America to Cuba for Bless that's work in Cuba. We come to say every month we open the new church planter in Cuba. It's amazing. That is a very, very nice thing in Cuba, because the gospel is growing in Cuba a lot. But that's coming with some problems too, because we don't have the enough people training, and I want to explain a little more about this. But I want to show some picture from the church in Cuba. That is the regular church planter, the new church planter in Cuba. That person start to building that place by faith. One day building something, another they put another. But when we arrive at that place the first time, they don't wash the roof. And that thing give $200 for buy the roof. And now, when we return 5 days later, we can see the roof in that place. That place is like a dream for our people in Cuba, because it's outside the house.
Home churches, house churches.
Home church, yes. Yes, if I say something, do you don't understand? Please correct me.
Oh, yes, of course.
Thank you. Yeah, that is the dream for our people, because it's outside the house. And it's like a neutral place, and every family come to that place, and it's not inside the house, but not many people have that opportunity. Many of our churches like that, home church, is inside the living room or the big room in the house, with all the chair, with all the accommodation for the family is inside that place. Almost all time is broken, everything, because it's too many person inside. I saw in one place like this more than 40 person, 50 person, and sometimes it's a little hot. The people prefer to stay for outside, across the las ventanas, the
windows.
Yeah. Across the window. But that's a big bless, I tell you, coming with some problem for us. Every church planter in Cuba have around 20 children. It's a lot children for one place. For example, we have sometimes two different services, one church for the children and one church for the adult, because coming a lot of children. But our big problem for us is we don't have enough people training. Training for teach our children. And now, one of our goals is working in that area, training. Training, children ministry, that is the example of our training. That is the group of the leader training our another leader. Now our goal is try to train 50 leaders, and each leader need to training another 10 leaders more. We want to make the course like 16 encuentros. 16 encuentros al en un curso de 16 encuentros.
Training material with 16 different.
Queremos hacer un curso de 16 encuentros
okay,
para
so,
los maestros.
So they want to have a curriculum, if you will, for their trainees. Excuse me, I've been fighting this cold. with 16 different, I don't know that word.
Encuentros.
Encuentros.
Yes, it's like a seminar for 16,
encounters?
16 times.
Encounters?
Okay. Yes. Do you know what was the problem? That's door, man. I'm almost freezing.
No,
that
no,
place.
No, no, no. It was pretty hot in here, so excuse me. Go ahead.
Yes, that is our goal now, because if, for example, we train 50 leaders, that leader training another 50 more is 550 leaders, and we can to cover each leader 20 children is a lot of children. Our children show the material because they are very, very excited for get the material, because it's not easy to get a Christian material or religious material for our people in Cuba, not only for the children, for everybody. It's not easy to get the material, and that is part of our job too. Will you tell something about our children special NIC ministry? That is amazing, but sometimes it's a little sad, because we're working with some children like this boy. He lives around 50 kilometers far to the hospital. And we bring this boy with around left at 11 years old the first time to the hospital, because his family don't have
finances to do. Also, their sister runs that ministry too, though.
Yes. My sister, she is the like a director for that ministry, but do you never see her? Because she take the picture all the time. that boy was the first time go to the hospital, because 50 kilometers is a far away for many people and don't have the money for pay the car. Because, for example, that boy or another boy when we're working with us can need the special car. And it's impossible to bring, and the transportation is some of the more expensive things in Cuba. Example for our problem transportation is our town is 55,000 people, and we have around 100 cars in all our town. That is part from our staff in some meeting. We made sometime some retreat.
Retreat.
For the handicapped family. We separate the father to the boy for all the day, and we made that retreat for around 3 or 4 days, depend the finances. We working for separate with the couple, with the mother, with the father, and we have a lot testimony about the los matrimonios se han salvado.
Many of the marriages have been saved as a result of it.
And we have a lot of testimony about that, because that person, they normally is very poor person. I have a very hard situation at the house. Bibles or material for Christian material is one of our big problems. We try to bring the good Bible to Cuba when it's possible, because every Christian don't have a Bible in Cuba. I don't feel very good with that sometimes, because I have around 3 Bibles in my house here, and I don't read the Bible. I read from my phone. But the reality, the people in Cuba don't have access to the Bible, and sometimes you can see inside the house 3 generations, 6, 7, 8 persons in one house. Everybody live in that place, and everybody uses the same Bible. And sometimes the Bible is not at home. It's in the neighbor's place. Sometimes 15 persons read the same Bible. And it's not the good quality of the Bible that is broken before the first year. Is this the good quality, maybe?
It wears out. They wear out because everybody's sharing the same Bible.
Yeah. And that is our big necessidad.
Necessity.
We're working in this area, but we have another area for Bible is for prisoners. In the first time in 60 years for the revolution, the last year was open the door for put some Bible. It was in short time, but we aprovechamos ese tiempo.
Take advantage of that time.
We put 2,000 Bible inside the prison. It was amazing. I have in our table, I have a sound report from last time. That was the last year. Now in this moment, we pray for open again because it's not possible to put again. Because when the government opened the door, do you need to go? And if you don't go, do you lose? And it was a very, very nice opportunity. And we have a lot of testimony about that. That was around 4 or 5 months ago, the Hurricane Matthew coming to Cuba, in the very east in Cuba, and destroy our more poor area in Cuba. Destroy more. The reality for that hurricane started in 2012 when coming the first hurricane, and our people is not recovered.
¿Está bien? Recovered.
It's not recovered from the first hurricane, and now coming the second hurricane. And all that do you see is a concrete roof in front of the sea. But the sea broken the big rock like this.
Boulders, big boulders.
And pushed to the building and broken all the concrete building.
Destroyed.
The next, please. That is the main street. Look in the concrete building, the main street. That person was the first time after 3 days, the second day to the hurricane going. The people coming to the town, but don't find nothing. Anybody die because the government is mandatory. The government pick up everybody from the house and put in the safe place for that time the hurricane coming. And for that reason, anybody die. And thanks God for that. But when the people arrive at the house, nothing. 3 days don't eat nothing because all the food the sea take from the store and from every place.
That used to be a bridge.
Yes, that was the connection. That is the another place. That is more at the east. That was the connection to the very east in Cuba. And we come to bring we was the first ministry arrive at that place. But we need to wait for the another way because the bridge was down, disappeared.
Destroyed. Wiped out.
Gracias. And we arrive at that place 1 week later. And when we see all that, everything is destroyed. That is the forest,
yeah.
Forest place, and everything is like burned. You can see a little green here, but the reality, everything was like burned. Came out.
Burned.
And that is the first, and this is the example to the church. That is the regular church in the building, but that is not the roof, it's the sky. Because the wind coming and blowing the roof and destroy everything. That is another example of the church planter at the east. That church was blue, but the wind and the water coming like a pressure cleaner.
These people on the east are the poor of the poorest, and of course they were hit. What he's trying to say is that 5 years ago, I think it was 2012, was the last hurricane, and it wiped it out pretty much, and they hadn't quite recovered yet from it, and then started again, because you know, their crops takes about, like coffee, takes about 5 years for it to produce again.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Many pastors called me when I arrived to Cuba the last time and tell me that, Joel, we don't have nothing. Joel, the Hurricane Matthew bring everything for us, and now we need to wait 5 years because we need to plant the coffee now because in this rock, it's not the land, it's like a rock. Only you can plant the coffee. And the
rocky soil, is that what you're saying?
Rocky soil, yeah. It's a very sad situation for that pastor. For example, one example of the pastor, he called me. He lives in the cave now, in the montaña. He lives
in the mountain.
He lives in the cave.
Cave.
But okay. He lives in the cave, and all the animal was outside with the hurricane, and the hurricane killing all his animal, because the animal live in the cave.
Yeah.
That is one of the examples for all the food we bring from the West. Something good for that is our country now is a little more together. Because the government don't like all the provinces be together and separate. Send the police from one province to another province, and that
it brings people together.
Yeah, it's like a fire people all the time. But in that time, everybody was together. Everybody sent something to the East. Any person asks, you are Christian or you are not a Christian? Everybody sent something from the house, and we bring some car. Every car was for free from the different ministries, the church. Everybody sent the car for free. That was a very big bless. The next. That person and the another coming want to say you thank you for the money your church sent for the hurricane relief in that place. That person, look the house behind. We try to give only part of the roof because we don't have enough money, because we bring your money here with the money from the different church for sent to the East. And we buy the roof mirror.
Sheet metal.
And we try to cover one room and a washroom and sometimes the kitchen. It depends the place. We don't want money for las paredes.
Walls.
But we think the big priority is the roof. Because when the hurricane was, se fue?
After it left, after the hurricane.
Yes, it rained, yeah, rained for a month and a half.
After the
yes.
Hurricane.
All this person lost everything inside the house. Everything. The next, please. That is another example. Look at half the roof, don't have paredes.
Walls.
But they are very happy for that. It's another example.
They're very grateful just to be able to have gotten. Well, we sent them some aid. Our church sent them some aids, and they were able to put roofs and the sheet metal and so forth to help with the folks, so that they had a roof over their heads, literally, right?
Yes, my brother say when do you put in your offerings some dollar, you can give food at this person at the East.
It goes a long way.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you. That is another part of our ministry, microfinance. Microfinance, we're working with the church, but we're working in that area around 5 years, when one day the government say we need to close some factories tomorrow. And from our place is a sugarcane place. And the government, in one day, from 46 sugarcane factory, closed 43 in only one day. All this person lost the employer. And the solution for the government was to give a license for start the business. But our people say, okay, I have the license. Now it's legal. Because before that, it was illegal to start the business in Cuba. But I don't know where to start the business. The only supply for employed in Cuba was the government. It's like, do you give the letter for freedom to the slave? And the slave say, okay, but I don't have house, I don't have food. That is the same situation. Those people can't go to the bank and obtain the loan. No. Only receive, for example, the people obtain some land, only receive from the government one machete. No more. But that is impossible to work in that. And we try to do something like a church in our country, and we start to support some project by a loan. We give
microloans.
Microloans. For example, that's example. We give around $600 or $700, I don't remember good. And that person was a very small place, and he started that place with a cafeteria with his family. And with that loan, he came to put in bigger the business, and now employer another 5 person more. It's 5 families more. He employer person is not the Christian. We give the loan only the Christian, but he employer person is not the Christian. But now he preaches in that place because all the music he put in that place is a Christian music. He preaches that the people coming for buy something. And every time in the morning when he starts to working, sorry, he say, okay, we need to pray for a start. That is amazing. First, the people don't understand. And now, all that family coming to the church. Yes, it's a very, very big blessing.
They came to the Lord.
Yes. That is the more typical business in Cuba. You can see that maybe in the fourth floor in Cuba, too. Yes, sometimes don't have a condition.
Everybody can raise a pig in Cuba, so it's okay.
Pineapple is another business with pineapple. Cabbage. That project was a very successful project. That person, we give the loan around $700, and he, in total, obtained the profits around $2,500. Was very good for Cuba. It's amazing. And that person say, okay, God bless me. I want to give the 20% from the church. It was amazing. He gives the 20% to the church. And later we say, okay, what are you doing with the next money, with the another money? No, I want to fix the house. I want to. Okay, do you don't take nothing for plant again? I say, oh. What happened with the Cuban? The only supply for jog was the government. And our people lost the ability for try, lost the ability for make the business. For that reason, it's very important for us when the teens go to Cuba and teach our people and try to change the mentality from our people. That is very, very important for us. The government for 50 years closed all the door. Our people try to go outside, but it's impossible because every door is locked. But now the government take off the lock from some door, not from all the door. Don't open the door, but take off the lock. But our people lost the ability for try. I put some example our people in Cuba don't like too much, but I put some time. It's like the baby elephant. The baby elephant, the owner put the big chain in the feet. And a stack. And that baby elephant tried to go outside, but can't, because it's a big chain, can't to broken. But when was bigger, the owner chain, the big chain from the small rope. But that elephant lost the ability for try. Now come to do him, but he lost the ability. Our people now pass in front of the door, and sometimes they say, okay, please, look. The lock is stay off. Please open and go outside. Okay. Lost the ability. And that is one of our goals. Training our people for try again and open the door.
Think it in a capitalistic way.
Yes. I mean, yes.
Big government. That's what it'll do to you.
Yes.
But we won't go there, okay? I mean,
the reality is we're working in that area for 5 years now, And we have a very big big change. Our people is like look different and try in different in different way, and that is amazing. Amazing things. Our church planter, part of the support coming for microfinance business, and sometimes we try to give the loan to the pastor, but for our culture in Cuba, it's not good if the pastor have the business, because business was seen. In Cuba, pecado por mucho tiempo.
It was a sin, yes.
Yes, because the church don't was good for the Christian, and now it's a different mentality. And one of that example is we give $400 to one pastor, the church planter, for his business. He bought the chainsaw, and he gave to another person, a member of his church. That person made every month around 20 bag charcoal by ash and machete. And now with the chainsaw, he made more than 200 every month, and he need to employ another free person. And now is that free family, the businessman family and the pastor family is blessed with only $400. That person start the business, pay back the money, 100%, we don't charge any interest in. We give $400, they are back $400, and we use it in another person. We have a very nice record.
Do you want to say something?
No, no.
We have a very good record. We have a 96% the loan is
payback.
Payback. We have some problem nowadays. We need to pardon.
They need to pardon some of the loans that they've
lost. The loans at the East, because that person everything.
They lost everything. Those are hurricane victims.
But it's very big bless for us. Preach about our businessmen and extend the gospel, our businessmen in Cuba. Okay. Thank you so much.
I'm going to invite Willie up there so we can pray for him, and I think you'll be dismissed after this. Come on. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, we just want to thank you for the Santiago families, how you used them throughout the years. And Father, we pray for safety, freedom from persecution by the government and the other forces that may exist. Lord, we ask for your continued blessings in their ministry, whether it's in the farm ministry, in the special needs ministry, and microloans and disaster loans or disaster help that they've been able to give. Father, we just ask you for your continued blessings along this line, and what a privilege it is for a church to be able to be a part of this ministry. We thank you and praise you for this opportunity and for continued opportunity, Lord. And we pray for the people of Cuba. We pray for that that they may be free from those chains that sometimes keeps us from being all that we can be. And we just want to praise you and thank you again for this time together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
All right, let's have you guys stand up with us as we continue on with our worship service this morning.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again.